The question today is, why does God allow good men to suffer? As we think about that question, the word good, of course, you realize the Bible said in Romans 3:12, there's none good, no, not one. So the only one that would be even good is those who've had a work of God done in their heart and walking in the will of God. In that sense, we know that we can have be good as far as the world's standpoint, but as far as God's standpoint, it takes the work of God in you to make you good. So why do good men suffer? We have a preconceived idea that if we're in God's will and everything, that we're doing what the Lord wants us to do, everything's going to go smoothly. But there will be problems. In other words, we think there'll be no problem, but we're wrong. I mean, God's going to allow things to come our way. So good men suffer. And when I say good, I'm talking about the fact of those that's doing what the Lord wants them to, in the will of God, saved and that type thing, are good. They're going to suffer. Now, why do good men suffer in that sense? Well, I think we could look at Job as an example. God said about Job here in Job chapter 1, verse number 8, He even brought him up to Satan and said to him, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" In other words, he's good in the sense that God's done a work in his heart. And he's perfect, complete in Christ. And so God allowed Job to suffer. God allowed Satan to tempt, to not only tempt, but to inflict punishment upon Job in many ways. And so Job suffered as a good man. And why did he do that? Why did God allow that? Why did good man suffer? With Job's case, I believe the reason that he suffered was to show, first of all, he suffered so that we could reveal to mankind, and God could reveal to mankind and the devil and his angels the testimony of a man of faith and endurance. In other words, God said, "I've got a man I can trust." The devil said, "You let the hedge back, pull the hedge back from him, and he'll curse you." But Job didn't do that. He stood true to the Lord and said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." He stayed true. He lost everything he had, all of his children, all of his goods, all of his cattle. And he was a wealthy man in his day, even lost the respect of his wife. And his wife even made this statement in verse number 10 of chapter 2 of Job. He said unto her, well, his wife said in verse 9, why don't you curse God and die? And he said unto her in verse 10, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we not receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." And verse 21 of chapter 1 said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So God allowed Job to suffer so that he could put him on display to the world and show the devil, the world, and the flesh, and all around, that he had somebody that would stand true even in the time of testing and trials and suffering. And Job did that. Job did that. So one of the reasons that God allows good men to suffer is to show the devil and the world that he has somebody he can trust. Another reason God allows good men to suffer is to let you know if what you have is what it takes to span the time. In other words, if what your profession of faith let you know whether it's real or not. You see, a testing of gold purifies that gold. I've always said that gold pans out. But God allows things to come your way if you've made a profession of faith, even if it's not real. The Bible said this in Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 20, about the seed on the stony ground. "But he that receives seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended." And so persecution, tribulation, is going to come when you identify with the Word of God. When you say you're saved and you join a Baptist church, and I'll use Baptist because I am a Baptist, then God's going to allow some things to happen to you just to let you know what you have is real or not. See, God already knows what you have is real or whether it's real or not. But you don't know sometimes. Many people are amazed, and I believe God's people do really know, but many people have doubts and confusion. So when God allows persecutions to come, tribulation and jerks the rug out from under you, so as to say, that's God's goodness to let you know, in other words, that He might bring you to a place of repentance. The Bible said in Romans 2:4, He said, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? See, God's good to you to even allow tribulation and persecution to come, because it purifies what you have if it's real, and causes the world to see that you're somebody that God can use and depend on, and yet you'll stand true to the test. But if you don't have anything, it'll jerk the rug out from under you, so to say, and let you realize you need something. And that's God's goodness to bring you to a place of repentance. Another reason that God allows good men to suffer is that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. The Bible said in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse number 45, the last part of that verse, He said, "For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." There's some things that's just going to happen no matter what. In other words, our nation, as sinful as it is, we cannot get by without judgment upon our nation because of the sin that we're facing. As the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man, but there'll be judgment upon this nation some way, somehow, before the Lord does come back. Now, I'm not saying He can't come tonight, but I do believe these things will have to be fulfilled as far as the Scripture, the Word of God. And so, therefore, the good people, those that's been saved, those that's doing what's right, those that's walking in the will of God are going to suffer whenever God sends judgment upon this nation. In the last days, in the time of the 70th week of Daniel, whenever God sends tribulation upon the earth, in essence, allows it to come, the good people are going to suffer. So it rains on the just and on the unjust alike. That's one of the reasons that good men suffer. The fourth reason that God allows good men to suffer is because for the consequences of our sin, or the sin of man. Now, when you're saved, God's not going to let you ever suffer the penalty of that sin. You'll never face the wrath of God. We know that. But yet, you realize something. We're going to pay for the consequences of our sin. It may not be for our sin as much as it is for Adam's sin. I know there was in John 9, there's a man born blind, and the concept of the time was who did sin, his parents or his mother, or him, as the disciples said to Jesus. And Jesus said, neither, but that the works of God may be glorified. See, God was allowed this man to be blind, not just because of his parents' sin and his sin, even though theoretically all suffering and all sickness and all problems as a result of consequences of sin of Adam. But yet there was not any specific thing about his own sin, but God wanted to bring glory, have somebody He could demonstrate His power through, and that's sort of like He did in Job that we just talked about. But, you see, that was the concept, that sin is the result of suffering. Well, there is some suffering as a result of the consequences of your sin. You go out and live a rough life, a wicked life, you're gonna suffer some consequences of that sin. That's why it's better for you to be saved and live a clean life. Why it's better to be under the auspices of a home that trains up their children and keeps them safe in that home so that they'll not have to suffer those things. There's the guilt of all the past sins. Even though God will forgive you and wipe the slate clean, as far as He's concerned, there's still consequences of those sins. There's going to be flashbacks. There's going to be the devil using it as a flag, if you please, to cause you to not be as effective as you would. But forgive yourself and go on realizing that God allows you to suffer because you're not going to do any suffering after this life. So all the suffering you're going to do for the sins in past life is because it's now. You're going to suffer now in this body. There's no other way. After that, there'll be eternal life, eternal bliss, if you please, and you'll not suffer. Now, the psalmist had a problem with the people, in a sense, over in the book of Psalms, chapter number 73, as he looked out and he was trying to do what was right and walk in the way that was right. And he said in verse number 2 of Psalm 73, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." And he said, "I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." In other words, here's a man who was walking where he needed to be as far as the will of God, but yet he looked over and he saw these who wasn't walking that way. Seemingly, he had to suffer, and that man didn't have to suffer. Everything he touched turned to gold, and everything this good man touched seemed to turn to be burned up or consumed, the problems in this life. And he said, "I was about ready to throw in the towel and quit. was envious of them. I couldn't understand that. He also goes on to say, verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. In other words, he's about ready to take out on God. Or at least he thought about taking out on God. But he said, until, verse 17 said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. He knew they were going to suffer in a lake of fire forever, the wrath of God forever. So it was God's goodness to them to help them to be how things seemingly come their way so that they might have a space of repentance. Folks, many times God's been good to you and you thought you were getting by with your sin, but it was God's goodness to bring you to a place of repentance. And yet, if you die in that state, you're going to split hell wide open. You'll suffer and burn, roast and fry forever, and you're going to suffer forever. So your time's coming. But for the one that's been saved, the only suffering he's going to have is now. And that's just for the consequences of sin. It'll not be for the sin itself. There'll be no penalty. Another reason that the good man, God allows good men to suffer, is to let you see if you're depending on blessings or on the blesser. If you're depending on the gift or the giver. You see, God knows, but you don't know. God knows whether you're going to stand true to the test and be a light to the world. You don't know, but when you come through that, you know. And so when you come through those things that's allowed to come up upon you, it'll let you know whether you're depending on the blessings and the gifts or upon the gift, on the giver or the blesser. Too many people, while things are going well, they're praising God, and yet you let some little old thing happen, they'll take out on God and turn. Now, I know many of those are stony ground hearers, I understand. But for those who are saved, even if you do that, and for a while, God lets those tests come to solidify you, to ground you, so that you'll depend upon God, whatever He says. Even though the storms is raging, even though the famine seemingly may come, that He'll let you go through that. And so Job is an example of that. He was depending upon the blesser. He was depending upon the giver, not the gifts and not the blessings, even though because of the fact when he lost all of his children and everything that he had in one day. Remember, he said back over in the book of Job, he said in verse number chapter 2, verse number 10, he said, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not we receive evil? And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was depending upon the gift and the blesser. So God allows good things to good men to suffer to show the world He has somebody that's real, to let them know whether what they have is real or not. And it rains on the just and the unjust, and they are just suffering the consequences of their own sin, or to let them know whether they're depending upon the blessings or upon the blesser. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.